Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio. Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, June the 15th, 2022. And Dr. Tim's mother passed away over the weekend, and her wake and mass is today. And so Dr. Tim's show will be pre-recorded today and then also tomorrow as he spends time with the family. And then we'll just wait and see what Friday happens for him. But he asked me to replay the Way of Mastery Lesson 2 review from February the 4th. So enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is a Friday. Friday, February 4th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17, almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can print off the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. And you can also download from the App Store of your choice, Google Play or Apple App Store, a complete, safe, private, free app. Just type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and you'll get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. And listening to those shows, sometimes repeatedly, is a great way to formulate a tutorial for yourself, to learn how to use these tools and to build your skills in a variety of different situations that might relate to finances, emotions, relationships, physical aches and pains, etc. We hope people do that soon and often because many times that leads to comments and questions or testimonials. And if you have any of that that you'd like to share with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581. And once you've called that number, press 1. It'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. And as I say in most of the shows, we appreciate when people do that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. And I say the word intention rather than goal because in this work we understand that whenever we set a goal for something that we don't achieve, it continues to run in our system. So we learn to manage our goals differently, and we learn to acknowledge and talk about plans and intentions that stay in that category of thought where I haven't elevated it to the level of behavior. I haven't told my mind, show me what behaviors I need to do to make this happen. And our intention with this work is to be of service. It's okay if we're not, it's okay if we are, but our intention is to be of service, and so we keep trying to modify what we're doing, and we appreciate any feedback in one direction or another that lets us know if we're living into that intention. The other thing we're doing this year is we're working with the Way of Mastery, and we're in the second lesson of the Way of Mastery, maybe about halfway through it. And one of the things that came up on Tuesday in the support group was we were listening to a Guy Finley talk, one of his presentations where he talked extensively about the paradox, the parable, the koan, a statement which seems to contradict itself. You know, in order to live, in order to save your life, you've got to die, etc. These, from the Western, what we call the Western scriptures, there are a number of confounding, conflicting statements that if they happened in the Eastern tradition, they would be called a koan. And a koan is a statement that catches the conscious logical mind in a loop. A koan might be do nothing and nothing is left undone. Another koan is no ignorance, no end to ignorance. So I mention this as a sidebar because where we left off yesterday in the second lesson of Way of Mastery is right before the next heading. And these headings were created, and they weren't actually spoken in the original download. But the heading for this next section probably going to sound like a contradictory statement or a koan to the Western mind. Mastery arises from innocence. Mastery arises from innocence. And this ties into what we've been told already. This is about noticing when we take ourselves seriously and dropping that, choosing to release our attachment to being serious, to getting it right, to knowing the answers, and to do that with childlike innocence and play and joy. So the heading of this chapter, or this segment of this chapter or lesson, is Mastery Arises from Innocence. In these lessons, we will create a system or a pathway upon which you can walk. You don't have to. No one can force you. Over and over in these lessons, we're reminded we have the choice of what we create moment to moment. So it's not by coincidence that it says we will create a system or a pathway upon which you can walk. And if you choose to do that, you will be choosing to deliberately cultivate the quality of awareness and consciousness that is necessary to stabilize that awareness so that you can bring it to each and every moment of your experience. In order to stabilize my conscious awareness, in order to have the ability to choose consciously what is the focus of my attention moment to moment, I have to cultivate, deliberately cultivate, a quality of awareness that is not there now, a quality of awareness I was not trained into in my life. But these lessons, these suggested exercises, will, if they're done, if you choose to do them, they will create a system or a pathway. And then if you choose to deliberately focus on applying them, it will help you cultivate the quality of awareness that is necessary to stabilize your awareness so you can bring conscious focus to your awareness in each moment. And that's how you move, that's how you deepen, that's how you experience the way of the heart. Imagine then being able to experience whatever arises and maintaining a sense of spaciousness, innocence, and ease. That same spaciousness, innocence, and ease that you've only had in fleeting moments of enlightenment or connection or deep awareness. For instance, know you the experience when things are going well and you are singing a happy tune and life seems to be moving ahead? Do you know that experience? Imagine that same quality of trust, faith, certainty of purpose, even when the buildings are crumbling around you and the bank account has gone dry. Just imagine being able to look at those events with the same sense of innocence and wonder with which you would look at the eyes of your beloved. Such a quality of awareness is perfect mastery. Within it are discovered perfect peace, perfect freedom, perfect joy, and uninterrupted communion with all of creation. And if you would well receive it, that quality of feeling intimately one with all of creation, which is what you have been seeking as a soul, since first the identification with creation called ego began. So it's interesting here. If you would well receive it, it's always there. It's always being offered. It's being given endlessly. It's part of your existence. It's part of your connection to creation. The perfect peace, the perfect freedom, the perfect joy, and the uninterrupted awareness of your communion with all of creation. To be aware of it, all you need to do is receive it. You have to be willing to receive it. Why do we need to be willing to receive it? Because once we created the dream of separation, the belief and the identification with egoic thoughts, conflict and the experience of separation were born in that moment. And everything you've ever attempted to do since then has been an attempt to overcome that dream of separation, that experience of being separate and separated from reality, life, your creator, etc. And to try to gain back what you felt you'd lost. The thing is, it's that the ways you've tried to do that do not work. Because you're using the same mechanism of thought, the same identification as being in the driver's seat and the one who must be and do it all, that conscious logical thought, that egoic intellectual processing, that's what created the dream of separation, and you're using that to try and end the dream of separation. It can't ever work. The world of conflict, fear, guilt, and unworthiness, and the world of the kingdom lie side by side within your own mind. The eye of the needle that one must pass through is the recultivation of the innocence of a child. It is for this reason that I often taught, become again as a little child to enter the kingdom. The cultivation of the way of the heart. Please pay attention to how many times you hear the word cultivation in just these first two lessons. Cultivating. What does that mean? What does that word mean to you? What is it to cultivate something? It's not that you drop a seed on the ground and walk away. There's preparation of the soil. There's fertilizing the soil. There's tilling the soil to soften it. There's choosing the seeds carefully. There's planting them individually sometimes at just the right depth. There's adding moisture to the soil. There's making certain that there's enough light, sunlight, nutrient light hitting the soil to warm it to just the right temperature so that the seed germinates and sprouts. Cultivating, the cultivation of the way of the heart, is that pathway whereby you deliberately and consciously choose to become again as an innocent child. Imagine choosing the perspective moment to moment in your life that you are a child at play in a kingdom. Choosing the innocence, the playfulness, the willingness to allow, accept, embrace all things. Just as you were in the beginning before you ever created and then incarnated into this dimension of experience that seems to be permeated by a sense of conflict and separation before you ever had a body, before you ever incarnated into physical form, you had this absolute wonder and awe and innocence and awareness. So this chapter goes on, this lesson goes on to let us know that you are a creator of your experience, and what you decree is. I would ask you now to begin to put into practice put it into the practice in your awareness that what you decree is. So whenever you happen to be someplace, whenever, wherever it comes to your mind, just for a moment, truly become aware of where you are. Where are you? Are you not having an experience of being within a body on a little blue globe spinning through space? Doesn't it seem to you that you are in the middle of a room or walking in a forest preserve or sitting in a chair in a waiting room for a professional office? How did that happen? Are you not within an environment in which there are certain weather patterns going on around you? Perhaps there are sounds that are coming into your ears? Just for a moment, whenever it comes to your mind, work at being truly aware of where you are in that moment. Can you feel the weight of your body as you stand upon your feet or sit in the chair or lie on the bed? Do you notice a tension in your neck? Is your mind racing? Are there thoughts bouncing around in there? Can you begin to bring awareness to exactly what is in this moment from a place within you of complete innocence and complete allowance and acceptance. You have a saying in your world, quote, it is what it is. That is the beginning of wisdom. You will discover that what is what you have chosen to make of it. Be therefore where you are in each moment and deliberately decide, to accept wholly that you are experiencing what you have decreed in this moment, and it has no cause whatsoever except your choice to experience it. And this is something you're going to have to cultivate because it's the opposite of what you've been trained to believe. If you were raised in a Western culture, you were trained to focus on outside events and to attribute any internal experience you have to those outside events. Rest assured that whatever the mind may try to say to you, and your mind will throw up all kinds of refutations of this observation, try to demonstrate to you what has been programmed into it for decades. She made me angry. He hurt my feelings. That is tragic. That is pleasant. That is overwhelming. That is marvelous. The outside event is what causes my upset. So rest assured that whatever refutation your mind might serve up for you, if you did not wholly, completely want to be right where you are, in any moment, you would not be there. If you are in a body in the field of space and time, rest assured, you desired it. You chose it, and it is here. And again, this isn't necessarily your conscious logical mind. This is referring to the higher self, the spark of life, the spark of the divine mind that chose to be here. Begin here. There's no need to judge it, no need to ask it to be different. Just truly be aware of what is. If you're feeling your body sitting in a chair, allow this thought to come into the mind. Quote, I have literally created this experience. Something within me is so grand, so powerful, so vast, so beyond anything that scientists have ever come up with, that I have literally crystallized into the field of experience an awareness of being a body in space and time. This experience has come forth from the field of my consciousness. This is the gift to me of the Creator. And the Creator asks, only that I learn how I am creating as the Creator creates. I have said many times that creation looks upon you and says, this is my only creation and it is good. It is just as it should be. For the Creator marvels at what you are, knowing perfectly well that what you are emerged from the Creator's holy mind. So please, likewise, look upon your creations and marvel. How is it that you could abide in this time on this planet? How could it be that you can place yourself behind the wheel of an automobile and actually get from point A to point B? That is a mystery and a marvel, and no one knows how it is done. Yet it is done, time and time again. The reason it is done is that all power has been given unto you, and what you decree is. A man or a woman shall decree a thing, and it shall be so. You have decreed this moment. please own it. Be aware of what you have done. Cultivate the awareness of your power to create your experience each and every moment. For by owning it right now, you can begin to sense the incredible and awesome power that flows through you and the mind, the spark of creative mind that you are in each moment. That is the power to create. Begin by choosing now to cultivate the practice in this manner. Set the intention so that in each hour of your day for 3 to 5 minutes, you practice by bringing this quality of awareness to exactly whatever you are experiencing. Whenever that thought arises to do the practice, watch the chance, watch the Western mind go into rigidity and decide to get out a calendar and block out every 15 minutes and say, here's a 3-minute block here and a 5-minute block there, and I'm going to set my alarm. Please notice the urge to try and control or get it right and judge yourself when you do it one way or another. This is about doing it when the thought comes to your mind. This is about cultivating a sense of awareness that arises naturally as you live your life day to day. So when the thought arises to do so, you do the practice then. Where does that thought come from? Well, what we're suggesting is it shouldn't come from your smartphone. Where does it come from? Imagine that you're going through the day and you've been hustling and bustling about. You've gone to your office or your work. You've talked to friends. You've bought groceries. You've done all of these things. And then suddenly, in the midst of all of that, the thought appears, oh, I want to focus on being aware that I am literally the creator of what I experience. When it arises in such a fashion, it will be because you have cultivated, you have initiated the desire, you have spent some of your mind energy focusing on this practice and this pathway. And if that arises in the middle of your day, do you think it happened by accident? No. The thought is penetrating your conscious awareness from the depth of your mind that rests right next to the mind of the Creator. Therefore, the power to generate that very thought is the effect of the Creator's will entering into your field of being, penetrating the veils of distraction, and shining forth as the thought, that's right, 5 minutes every hour. Can you feel the awesomeness of that? For truly, in truth, as always, you are linked to the mind of the Creator, and the Creator knows how to bring you back to complete freedom, perfect peace, and mastery of this entire realm. You do not know how to do that. The Creator knows how to do that. The One Mind, the Christ Mind, the Holy Spirit, the Great Comforter, endless names that we create for this process, for this energy, for this consciousness. Those who truly love creation and would truly awaken will feel something compelling them to master this simple practice for 5 minutes each hour. They will learn to delight and look forward to it. Pretty soon, those 5 minutes will stretch into 6, then 10, then 15, and 50, until finally, there is established in their awareness the unchanging realization that everything that arises is something they have decreed, and so it is. 5 minutes every hour is not much to ask. For 5 minutes every hour, be as you are created to be. Allow yourself to be as you are created to be. Watch the tendency in the Western mind to should on yourself about this. There is no should about this. There is no great accolade to be won if you manage to get through an entire day where 5 minutes in every hour you spend doing this. There is no shame to be had if you wake up 3 days from now and realize you haven't done it once. That's the ego, either creating the acclaim or the shame. This is about the cultivation of awareness. Step us back to where we began today with the heading that says, mastery arrives from innocence. Mastery does not arrive from putting your nose to the grindstone and making sure that you set enough alarms on your iPad and your smart devices and the clocks around your house, and you pay your assistant to remind you to do this so that you never forget to do that five-minute exercise in each hour. That's not what mastery arises from. Mastery arises from cultivating the innocence, cultivating a presence of awareness, so that when the thought arises, oh, I should spend a few minutes tuning into the realization that I have chosen to be here, that I am creating this experience. And when I do that, I will feel the connection to the one mind, to the flow of creation. 5 minutes every hour, be as you are created to be. A creator decreeing that which brings forth experience. Catch it the next time you say, well, I'm really here because I have to be. I'm really just doing this because it's what I have to do. Catch that and see its false nature. See it as a thought of the egoic mind. Rest in the truth. I've chosen to be here. I'm choosing how I experience it. I can choose again if I don't like the product of my choices. Take the words ought, should, must, and have to, write them on a piece of paper, and look at them. And then light a match and burn the paper. Let it dissolve to dust. This is a symbol of allowing the energy you've given these words to become again as the dust or the ash of the ground. Clear from your consciousness all identification with such words, for all of them are denials of reality. So this is where the Western mind is just going to start flip-flopping and tying itself in knots. 5 minutes every hour? Oh, my God, how am I going to do that? Well, maybe there's a special app I can buy. Maybe I can pay somebody to follow me around and poke me with a sharp stick for 5 minutes every hour of what is being suggested. Even if I were to do that, it would not put me on the path which we are calling the way of the heart. So notice what your mind is doing when you hear a suggestion like, make the commitment to spend 5 minutes every hour realizing that you are creating your own experience. Notice what the Western mind does, and notice how quickly, how clearly this book comes out and tells us, take the words ought, should, must, and have to, and write them on a piece of paper, look at them, notice what comes up in you about them, and then burn it. Burn the piece of paper. Let it turn to dust. Use this as a symbol of allowing the energy that you have given to these words about how you need to and you should and you must and you have to, allow that energy to dissipate from your consciousness. Those energies are not on the pathway that we're calling the way of the heart. Clear from your consciousness any identification with such words. Must, have to, need to, should, ought to. They are denials of the actuality of life. Many times I've shared with you, you need do nothing. Listen to these words and take them into yourself as though they are your own voice, because they are. You need do nothing. Well, what does that mean? I thought I was just told that in order to be on this pathway, in order to reconnect to my source, in order to stay in alignment with my true nature, I need to stop every 5 minutes and reconnect my awareness to the process of how I'm creating my experience of life and how I've chosen. I thought I needed to do that. That's the ego. Judging, comparing, criticizing, weighing, preparing you to either exalt yourself for such a fabulous job or berate yourself for failing at it. You need do nothing. You do not have to survive. Whoever told you that you had to survive? You do not have to make everybody happy. Whoever told you that you had to? Whoever told you that you could make anyone happy? That's one of the biggest lies you've ever been told. You do not have to abide as a body in time and space. Whoever told you that you had to? You do not have to pay your bills. Who told you that? There are people every day on this planet who refuse to pay their bills, who walk away from their job, who file bankruptcy. And yeah, it's going to create a set of ripples of energy and effects that can be experienced one way or another according to your choice if you choose that. But the fact of the matter is you don't have to. You literally need do nothing. This is then wanting or choosing to do something. You do not need to love your parents. You do not need to honor your father and your mother. You do not need to worship your creator, me, or anybody else. You do not need to love yourself. You literally need do nothing. For need is an expression of the perception that there is something you lack. Because you are one with all of creation, there is never a moment when you lack anything at all. We all know the mental mindset, the cultural conditioning, the family conditioning of how we aren't good enough until we do this or that, and we aren't lovable unless we have this or that. And in truth, we literally need do nothing. Can you allow the thought to emerge in your mind when you arise in the morning, I need do nothing today. I don't even have to get out of this bed. I don't have to go into an office. I don't need to fulfill that order. I don't need to say good morning to my mate. I literally need do nothing. For please, just observe, how can there be the power of freedom to choose and to create when you are being governed by the belief of the world that you must be in a certain way? The belief that you need to be acceptable to others, that you need to conform and fit in, that you need to dress the way others dress, that you need to be committed to surviving an extra day upon this plane. If those needs were true, there could be no freedom. There can be no freedom wherever there is need. So here we are, about to set up practicing for the first two axioms. These are the first two axioms of the way of the heart. These are to be built on, to be remembered, to be cultivated, there's that word again, worked with, massaged, focused on, observed, playfully, with childlike innocence, engaged with this practice. I am created as the Creator created me to be. I am free. And nothing sources my experience but me in each moment. Nothing has an effect on me whatsoever except for that which I choose to allow to affect me. I need do nothing. It's recommended that we take a breath here. You don't need to, but it's recommended that you take a deep breath, hold it at the top, and slowly exhale. The lesson goes on to say, in the beginning, we would suggest that you practice this second axiom in the morning and in the evening as you are arising and as you are retiring. At least twice in each of your days, we would ask you to cultivate for 5 minutes the repetition of this thought so that you feel it in your bones. I need do nothing. Now please watch what arises within you as we read that paragraph again. Here is a suggestion. It's only a suggestion. You may be asked, you may be called from the heart of your being to ignore this entire paragraph. You might be asked, it might come to you from the depth of your mind and your awareness to do this exercise more than just twice a day, and more than for 5 minutes, and yet you need do nothing. Please watch the mind, watch the koan, watch the contradiction that can get developed in the Western mind when somebody says, here's a practice you might do. At least twice in each of your days, we would ask you to cultivate for 5 minutes the repetition of this thought. What's the thought? I don't need to do this exercise. I don't need to take my next breath. I don't need to stay alive. I don't need to go to work. I don't need to say good morning to my mate. I may choose to do all of those things, some of them or none of them. This is not about doing the exercise because it was assigned. This is about what can awaken in your consciousness when you allow these thoughts in and you cultivate them, you work with them, you bring your awareness to them, you analyze, you observe with childlike innocence. You notice any tendency for judgment or constriction or contraction, and you release it as quickly as you can, moving back to that childlike innocence. This thought, I need do nothing, will come as quite a shock to your consciousness, and your mind will say, but wait a minute, I have all these things I have to do. What about this? What about that? Oh my goodness, is the world going to stop spinning if I stop needing what I need? Dear friends, that would be up to the world and not up to you. The power of these first two axioms will be what everything that follows is built upon. And yet, everything that follows is merely a way of watering those two axioms and making them the anchor of your awareness. For when an anchor is firmly in place, you will literally create whatever you so desire, and you will create it from perfect freedom and perfect deliberateness. You will even transcend miracle-mindedness. For miracle-mindedness is still a stage of perception, which is just sort of mastery. It's just short of mastery. Mastery comes when you know that you are literally and deliberately creating. There is nothing miraculous about it. You will decree a thing and it shall be so. That as the Creator creates. For while the Creator marvels at you, the Creator knows perfectly well that your creation was not a miracle. It was very deliberate. It was born from the pure radiance of the energy we call love, life, the world, God, the Creator. The Creator does not sit on its throne and say, I wonder if I'm worthy to create my children, my offspring. I wonder if I'm worthy to express myself through the divine spark of consciousness that my children are. It does not enter into the holy mind of the Creator. I wonder if it's okay for me to create a solar system. The Creator receives a thought, or you might say a thought emanates within its holy mind. He decrees it, and it is so. And the Creator looks upon all things and says, this is what it is, and this is fine, just the way it is. The last segment is titled Exercise in Conscious Creation. The third and last exercise we would give you in this lesson is this. Choose something that you do every day that you are convinced is so utterly ordinary that it certainly does not hold any power or any spiritual meaning whatsoever. This could be something as simple as having a glass of water, brushing your teeth, or yawning. Choose something that you know you do every day and decide to make this the focus of your worship, the focus of your conscious awareness for that brief period of time, so that when you do it, you stop and you say, ah, I did this, and it is done. It is very good. Even if it is something as simple as raising your head from the pillow, become aware of it, own it as self-created, and as you contemplate that action, say this to yourself. It is very good. I have done this. It is good. I have created this experience. Again, those that are truly committed will find that they begin to enjoy this process and they begin to apply it more and more to other events in their lives. They begin to reawaken the childlike joy of building a castle in the sandbox. For in truth, that is all you are doing here. Consciousness is your sandbox, and you are creating castles. You've simply forgotten to enjoy them. When you want to be rid of them, you lament, oh, but if I give this up and change my mind and move on, what will happen to my creations? What will others think of me if I act like a child and just take my little plastic shovel and knock the castle down and go in and have a sandwich for lunch? What will people think of me? Will I fit in? Will I be accepted? Will I be judged? Will I be persecuted? There is a position in your mind who could say, who cares? The opinions of others mean nothing unless you choose to make them mean something for you. Now we come to what concludes this lesson. So here's the question for you. What blocks you in your own mind? For even as you are hearing this, you may recognize a resistance. That resistance is the energy of fear. Uh-oh, what will happen if I follow this path? That part of your mind, called the ego, will rise up to tell you that if you listen to the one that some have called the savior of the world, it will take you to a path of destruction. The voice for ego knows that it will be destroyed if this path is followed. You, the reality of who you are, cannot be destroyed. That resistance that comes up in you is fear, and fear is one of the energies which is out of alignment with the truth of the kingdom. Therefore, fear not, and continue in faith, for I say unto you, what you will discover at the end of this pathway is perfect freedom, perfect power, perfect spaciousness, perfect joy, and perfect peace of living, literally living in the kingdom of heaven. choice is yours. For those of you that will feel this resistance come up so strongly, and for those of you that will yet call out unto me in your dreams and prayers, help me. Help me get through this. I say unto you, you walk not alone. I cannot be further from you than the width of a thought. And yes, you are the creator of that thought. I too embarked upon just such a path. Each axiom that I will share and shall refine, as well as the many exercises in the way of mastery, these are specifically exercises and truths that were given to me from the time I was initiated by certain Essene teachers in the way of the heart. Think about it. When my teacher said to me, it's time for you to go spend 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, don't you think I had a little resistance come up within me? I too had the choice. I had to notice that I was creating the thought of fear. I had to notice that I was separating myself from the great protection of the energy of creation, the awareness of the energy of creation. Some would call it the love of God. I had to physically move my body into the wilderness to move through my own rings of fear and discover what was on the other side. The pathway that I have walked is the same pathway that you are walking. And if our pathway is the same, then we all walk together toward the creation and away from illusion, pain, weakness, unworthiness, guilt, and even death. So engage in your exercises with great zeal, with great joy, and above all, with great, outrageous playfulness. Play with this. You cannot be playing with this if you beat yourself up because you're not remembering for 5 minutes in every hour to do an exercise. If you're not remembering 5 minutes in the beginning of the day and 5 minutes in the end of the day to do that exercise and you beat yourself up, that's not playfulness. Learn to look with innocence upon all that arises. Abide lovingly with all of your creations, including the places within your mind where fear has made a home. Eventually, if you put these little exercises to work, much indeed will arise. The upset, the shame, the guilt, the judgment, the pain, the fear will arise. Practice then and practice well and practice with joy and playfulness. Know that you are loved, loving, and lovable forever, and that in truth the only thing that is occurring is that an old dream is being released, that a new dream might replace it, the dream of worthiness, peace, wakefulness, and union with all of creation. Again, I say, I come not alone in this specific work, but I come with many who support your healing and your awakening. Therefore, indeed, be at peace this day, beloved friends. Abide lovingly with your creations. Amen. So there we have it, the end of a couple weeks. The first two lessons of the Way of Mastery. Hopefully a clarion call to learn to dance and play and look at your life and all of your creations with innocence and understanding that if you don't like what you have created, you can still look on it lovingly, own it as your own creation, and choose differently in the next moment. And there aren't really any words to describe how at one and the same time, if you know, if you get, if you let this soak into your mind, if you let yourself practice even the first two lessons of the Way of Mastery, you don't need anything else. And yet, in the same moment that that is true, this work just deepens more and more profoundly as you go through the future, the coming lessons. So we've only got about 4 minutes left. Call number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a brief conversation. What's on your mind? How can we support you? How are you finding this experience of going through the lessons as slowly and carefully as we are? Area code 513, you're in the air. Who do we have?
This is Tom. I have been enjoying very much the process and the speed at which you've been going through the Way of Mastery. And it this morning, I don't know, I was just triggered to explore the Christ Mind Way of Mastery website and came upon the Yeshua letters icon and clicked on it and read the first letter. It was amazing. It helped me, you know, it gave me an insight as to, you know, where it all started. So I just wanted to check in, say hi, and thank you for your contributions to this work, and many blessings.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It is there is a book titled The Yeshua Letters, and it's part of that pathway. As is the book, The Way of the Servant. And we will probably eventually get to that. I don't know if it will be in sequence, but it's a great idea that people can tap into reading segments of that book and or The Way of the Servant and or all kinds of other little snippets that Yam has been putting out there over the years. So I'm glad you're finding it useful. Thank you for the call, letting us know that, and blessings.
Thank you. For those of you who have tuned in and had not heard, we're playing pre-recorded shows today and tomorrow for Dr. Tim. His mom passed away, and he actually posted her obituary on his Facebook page. Her name's Betty Bader Hayes. She was 94, and she passed away on the 11th. And today they are doing her receiving of friends, and at 11 o'clock Central Time, they started the Memorial Mass. And then tomorrow he's going to be spending the day with his family. And so, and we'll see what Friday comes. It may be a pre-recorded show as well. So we welcome you to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, June the 15th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. And while we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I will tell you that Apple has approved the app. And so if you've got an iPhone, you can do an update and get the newest edition of the Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness app. And Google should be within today or tomorrow, but I have not heard from that one yet. So definitely go to your phone and see if there's an update and bring it in and check out all the changes. And we appreciate your support. We had a Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing on Saturday, and then Michael did a 3-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again on Saturday. And I've got those on the website already, and well, not the Mind Shifters. That's only to the group that's participating in it, but the 3-hour Why, if you go to our website and you click on click at the same time I'm talking, my apologies. So
under schedule. There's still, it says free 3 hour. Why is this happening to me again? It's also still under events. It's also under multimedia to watch and listen free. And you can pick it up there under the videos, free video downloads. And so all of that's out there. There's also under the media and under the 3 hour why both. Tim Kellis, who is the gentleman who hosted Michael doing this, he had done an interview prior with Michael, and that video is going to be out there as well. So we just invite everybody to hold Dr. Tim in the space, and we welcome you to the second hour. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. And, you know, we definitely extend our hearts and our the presence of love to Dr. Tim and his family and to her mom, or his mom, pardon me, as she moves to the next level of her eternal existence. And one of the objectives of this work is to awaken people to the truth of that state of being, that where we realize that we are part of a universe that is eternal. And, you know, and I don't say this from a theological point of view. My background's in electronics with a side study in physics. And here's what physics says. Everything in the universe is energy. There is nothing else but energy. And energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Only its form can be changed. And therefore, we must be energy. We must be eternal. Why don't we express that way? Well, I'd offer that we buy into drama and trauma, and we destroy ourselves. One of the things, if you're going to be a support person for people, is that you need to handle the drama and trauma in yourself and show up as a space of love for people who are in drama and trauma. You know, showing up as drama and trauma for people in drama and trauma isn't really serving those people. It's actually adding an extra load to people who, what they really need is conscious, active, present love, so that whatever's moving in them that's of a painful nature can be processed through. So, thought there. And when you realize, you know, if you haven't watched it in a while, or if you've never watched the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, it's now on the website. We did a really tight workshop on Saturday. It was 3 hours, and I think it's one of the best Why workshops I've ever done, and I've done it hundreds. Well, I don't know whether I could go into thousands of times or not, but certainly hundreds of times. Trying to do the math. Anyway, it's irrelevant. So if you haven't done the Why Is This Happening to Me Again, please, you know, avail yourselves of it. It's a free open, I mean, it's the whole workshop. Normally, that's something that is available as a purchase from our website, that workshop. It's not something we've ever made available, just free, out, open, and, you know, somewhere some sort of cash flow has to come to keep all the projects going, to keep this work moving. So that's one of the things that we've done. And so we decided to put it out there, and it's a downloadable one, so you can save it to your computer. You can watch it as often as you want. You can send a link to anybody. Anybody can access it. There's no restriction on it whatsoever. And if it supports you, you know, drop a buck in the donation bucket. You know, go to the website, go to whyagain.org, and support the work, or drop a 10 or a 20 or 50 or 10,000. You know, whatever fits, whatever works for you, however it's serving you. And here's what we'll guarantee you. You know, we live a pretty meager lifestyle, and everything that comes to this work, I mean everything, is used to enhance the availability of these tools. If we come up with, for any reason, with some sort of a surplus, then we create another project for making these tools available. And so this Why Is This Happening to Me Again is just one more example of that. So support it if it supports you. Pass it on. Make it available to others. Our ultimate commitment is every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And we mean literally every. So, but one of the things, one of the points that we make in that workshop is that, and, you know, we ask the question, and I'll run through the sequence of that. And that is, have you ever had any conflict in any of your relationships? Repeatedly. And then, have you ever done anything regret? And of course, everybody kind of rolls their eyes, and yeah, I have. Notice that the behavior that you did that you now regret was done when some form of hostility or fear was active in you. Now, since our culture thing and you need it and it'll keep you safe and the whole thing around that is a total complete fraud and a lie. It's the only thing that will ever kill you is hostility and fear. The only thing. You say, well, no, I know somebody who got a bacterial infection and the bacterial infection. No, the bacterial infection didn't kill them. The tissue was weakened and the bacteria tried to clean up the mess and they died as a result of the toxic energy that was destroying tissue. The bacteria is just a cleanup crew. The bacteria is a reducer organism. When something's weak and breaking down, it's there to clean up the mess so that the system doesn't become toxified even more deeply. Hostility and fear are disintegrative energies. You know, the first idea in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop that I usually express is my favorite quote from Einstein. And here's what Einstein says. On such things as matter, we've been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibration becomes so low as to be perceptible to the senses, there is no matter. So you don't live in a material world. You don't live in a physical world. Your eye makes it appear that way. You remember Yeshua 2,000 years ago said, don't judge by appearances. Constructs of the mind called perception make things look like something that they aren't. But under it all is energy, under all the appearances. And, you know, when we ask people what they were feeling when they did what they regretted, they always come up with sad, afraid, hate, vengeance, anger, grief, pain. Everything based in drama and trauma goes under that calm. Well, notice that state of hostility or fear, your mind prompted you to do something that you regret. In essence, what you could say is that means your mind was giving you stupid advice, and you followed it. My offering would be never follow stupid advice from your mind ever again. Never open your mouth in hostility or fear again. Now, that's not an easy thing to do because most of our culture, so much of it is based in playing that hostility and fear game. When hostility or fear is active within the human system, the reason why that hostility and fear-based advice in a mind always leads to regret when somebody wakes up from their stupor of hostility and fear, the reason is because hostility and fear are simply signals. The only meaning hostility or fear has is that there's some sort of corrupt data in you that is contributing to the perception of the moment. You know, 10 minutes ago, you were rolling along happy and jolly and everything's good and I'm rocking and, you know, I'm appreciating everybody and cherishing everybody. Somebody gives me the look. Resonates my rage. I go into a fit of rage and I rage at them. After I go, I apologize. You're my friend. I should have never done that. And why did I do it? Because the minute that hostility or fear were activated, my mind was using corrupt data to build the literal world picture that I see of you, or that I see of myself, or that I see of the world or someone else. And it's amazing, even years after being in this work, people believe their mind's constructs based in hostility or fear. They still think their mind is telling them the truth about something out of this hostility and fear state. Every time that hostility or fear has ever been active in you, your mind has lied to you. The construct that it has shown you about yourself or someone else, whatever it is a lie. Now, yesterday, if you missed yesterday's show, I'd suggest you go back and listen to the archives. We talked again about the Aramaic Beatitudes. And those Beatitudes are not a nice philosophy. They're about how to set your mind up so your perception is accurate at every moment and serves you in the highest and best way possible, and especially serves you functioning as a human being. What is a human being? There aren't enough words in the language to describe what a human being is, but if you hold a newborn, you can get a direct experience of it. That's the energy that's designed to run your mind. Hostility or fear is not designed to run a human mind, at least not if you want a sane human mind. So the project becomes one of cleaning up a past based in hostility or fear, where whatever the mind told us in hostility or fear, the mind instantly convinced us what it saw was true. Line in the Course in Miracles says, you did this to yourself. Take responsibility here. You trained your mind in its testimony, and when it fed it back to you, you believed what it told you. You did this to yourself. You got to stop. You got to give it up. And return to the state where conscious, active, present love is your norm. Well, what if somebody in my space is in rage? Well, you know what they need more than anything else? The presence of active love. They need something that can ground them in sanity and get them back to the truth of what's going on. One of the best ways to repair a mind that's using corrupt data is to apply the tool of forgiveness. Not the Greek tool of letting somebody else off the hook, but the actual Aramaic technology for collapsing false output from the mind, processing the underlying trauma that leads to the false output, and returning to the point where the mind functions as it's designed to function, based in love. Well, what if there's a big conversation going on over and there's rage and fight and this? Yeah, so? So if there's a big conversation going on out there and there's rage and fight, why would you need to rage or fight? Unless there's rage or fight in you that's resonated by what's happening out there, and then it becomes your opportunity to learn forgiveness. It becomes your opportunity to remove that block. Remember, Paul talked about we see as though through a glass darkly. When hostility or fear are active, it puts a shroud over everything, and the shroud convinces us that the lie our mind is showing us is true about ourselves or about someone else. And the hostility or fear-based lie is never true. Can I get back to a state of love where love is the fuel that fires my mind? And if I see someone in pain, then I can hold them accountable. If somebody's in pain and they're doing damage to others, someone needs to step up in love and have the hard conversation of, and now you're going to stop this, and now you're going to be held accountable for what you're doing. You know, a lot of people have this perspective that, well, you know, if you're going to function as love, then you just have to be kind of mamby-pamby and let people walk all over you. No. If you function out of active present love, you're able to have the hard conversations, and you can stick with the person who wants to rage and drag you down and tear you apart. If you've done the work of removing hostility or fear in you, and that's the fuel that runs the content of your mind. Now, if you were raised in a culture where hostility and fear, you know, mom and dad's games, the power person games were all based in hostility or fear, this sounds like a far-off dream that's an impossibility. Well, my offering is it's not a far-off dream, but it is going to take a significant amount of work to achieve. All you're going to have to do is look inside and remove every bit of hostility or fear that your mind can throw at you, free yourself of it, and function as love, function as you're designed to, function as that newborn energy that you're made of. So that's what we're here to support. And again, if hostility or fear is moving you, that's not the energy to take to someone who's in trauma. That just reinforces, that just drags it down. Bring forward active present love to trauma, and you become the space where healing occurs. And there might be people who refuse, who want to keep up their game of how they're going to blame you or blame somebody else, and they want to, you know, they're hooked with their hostility or fear. I remember working with one therapist who, when I shared, you know, a suggestion that they might want to look at something in their own minds, they just laughed. And just like, well, that's an interesting response. You've asked me for support in this, and when I invite you to look at how your issue might be resolved, you laugh. But that's the mind of hostility or fear. That's the game that it plays. And if that triggers something for you, then there's the next piece of work you get to do. And if you're going to, you know, many people want to take this work and, gee, this is awesome, I want to be able to support and pass this on to friends and family, then the only thing you're going to have to do is face everything based in hostility or fear that's ever been structured in you and in your bloodline and clean it up, and then bingo, you're now ready to go for it. And it's a process and it takes time. And we're here to support you. That's the objective of everything we do. So inviting you once again to go to whyagain.org. Give a listen to the Why Is This Happening? Brand new one, right, you know, the latest update. We just did it on Saturday. If you go to events, there's a link there. You can, it'll take you to Vimeo, and it's a downloadable link, free and open, so you can share it with anyone. And then really step into actually doing the forgiveness process, actually putting the pen to the paper and doing the work of forgiveness. There's also a link from, and it's, I mean, there are over 20 different radio shows where either Dr. Tim or Jeannie or myself has walked somebody through a whole worksheet. And there's a new link, and it was a really powerful session that we did last week in the Hear My Voice book club out of London, England. It was actually about a 2.5-hour process. There was some Q&A in it, but a really powerful worksheet, and we got to elucidate in several of the fine points of the forgiveness process. So once you watch, I'd suggest do it in this order. Watch Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then there's a video on our YouTube channel called, that's titled PowerPoint. And it explains, it was actually done by a fellow named Bill Constantine, was a, or is a corporate trainer, and he had done teacher training, and he approached me and said, Michael, I'm really good at doing PowerPoints, and I'd like to do a PowerPoint that explains this, the complexity of this forgiveness process. So Bill and I spent about a year going back and forth refining that. And so watch that PowerPoint, and then watch that 2.5-hour worksheet video. And you've got a really good foundation for stepping in and utilizing the forgiveness process. you can add to that, or I'd suggest that you go to the website, our website, or pardon me, let me back up. Suggest that you go to your app store on your phone, and in the app store, whether you've got an iPhone or an Android, doesn't matter, type in the words Heartland, one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. It's a free app. It's an app that only asks for one permission. And so it's designed specifically to be extremely private so that you can tell your worksheets in that app anything you want. You can save a worksheet once you complete it, and it will ask for one other permission, that is to be able to write to your drive. But we don't ask for, you know, the ability to take pictures or send texts or change settings or make phone calls or any of the garbage that a lot of apps do for whatever reason. Two simple permissions, and it's totally private. Start doing the forgiveness process. It is monumental in how it shows you how to access unresolved trauma energy in the presence of love and forgive, remove that trauma energy. So there's a nice little package that's available. And actually, I'm putting together an assembly of several different pieces. If you would like to be, if you're not on our mailing list, you can go to the website, whyagain.org. And at the bottom, you can click a link that says, you know, join our mailing list. I don't know, do we have a place in the app, Jeannie, where people can join the mailing list?
Yes, when they first open it up and put their name in, there is a block there that they can check that says, save me to your mailing list. And
perfect.
If they check it, then I add them to it. And if they don't check it, I don't.
Okay, awesome. So you can, you know, get on the mailing list. And once I complete this, I'm kind of working on a couple of things, but I'm assembling along with the link to the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop in the PowerPoint and the 2.5-hour session we did in the Hear My Voice Book Study Club. And by the way, the second and fourth Thursday of every month at 3:30 in the afternoon Eastern Time, it's 8:30 London, England time, put that on your calendar, put an alarm in, and you know, you can grab the link under events from the webpage and join us for the book study. We're going to be stepping into the first three chapters in our next session. So the second and fourth Thursday of each month, 3:30 Eastern time. So join us for that. And of course, we're here to answer questions and get that worksheet really working for you. It amazes me how many people are introduced to the idea of forgiveness and they go, rah, rah, that's really exciting. And hesitate to put the pen to the paper to do the actual process. It's kind of mind-boggling for me, but in any event, put it together. If you join the mailing list, we'll send out, probably it'll be sometime within a week that I'll get this thing together, this assembly of links together that will give you a program to follow that will really help to refine your skills in using that forgiveness tool. So delighted that you're with us. And do we have anybody, Miss Jeannie, with the hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of?
No, it is all quiet. And you can also access the PowerPoints on our website without going to the Vimeo site. You can go to Start Here and then go down and it says PowerPoints, and you get several options from their site. You can download it as a Microsoft PowerPoint onto your computer. There's also the YouTube script, so if you're watching it on YouTube. There's the script of it, so you can follow along. There's also the full presentation with the audio, and then you can also go to Vimeo and click the PowerPoint. So you've got four different options if you go to our website. So.
Perfect. And have we put the new workshop from Saturday on our YouTube page?
No, I've got it on our website in about three different places,
yeah.
And I'm working on getting the Beatitudes for the last 2 days up there, but I do not have it out there yet on YouTube.
Yeah, Let's make a note and put it on YouTube too for people who access stuff through YouTube who maybe don't go to our website. So that's awesome. Well, if you're out there in listener land and you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, you know, most people dial into the show to listen to it. But if you're listening on one of those other stations, we can't tell you're there, so we can't answer any questions for you. However, if you dial into the show and the call-in number is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show directly. And having dialed in, if you push 1 on your phone, through the magic of technology, that raises a hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will know that you want to speak to us. And so if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Questions, thoughts, something to share. What's your experience of the process of engaging in forgiveness? Have you started to use it yet? And if you haven't, how can we support you? What questions do you have? Is there something that has you hesitate? And I know that unconsciously, my take over, you know, the years of developing this and working with thousands of people, there's an unconscious knowing about what needs to be faced. And most people organize their lives, their eating habits, their drinking habits, their time, so they never look at what's going on inside of them. They are always busy. It's the biggest drug on the planet. And just taking the time to stop and look inside is something that brings up, for most people, stark raving terror. Like there might be something in there chasing them. And they've organized their lives to skip over, to just stay in the surface mind and never look, never engage within. The invitation here is to really start to engage within and recognize that it's safe. And whatever it is that has you not wanting to look, remember that by not looking, that energy is still impacting your physiology. I'd offer that the things that people don't want to look at in their lives are the things that their diseases are made of, literally. I'm talking now physical, mental, emotional, relational, and financial diseases. That's the stuff that those diseases are made of. And so when one begins to look within, and that's what the forgiveness process does, if you utilize that worksheet, you'll start seeing things in your mind that may at first shock you, it may be dismaying, it may be extremely painful. But here's the thing. All of that dismay and pain is going on, it's just going on unconsciously. And as long as we never interrupt it and heal that dynamic, then it creates degeneration in the tissue that it's stored in. It literally becomes our physiological diseases. So our invitation is recognize that. And as you start to go in, you take the load off of the tissue structure. You take the burden off of your physiology and watch the dis-ease energies in your life begin to disappear. Watch the symptoms resolve themselves. Because there's no other cause of disease in the human realm other than an energy that does not belong, and that energy is creating deterioration. Now, again, you know, the culture's got this conversation, no, there's this bug, and this bug got in my body, and that's why I have a disease. And that's just pure bunk. That's salesmanship. That's done by an industry that's making billions of dollars off of that false belief. In fact, this month, the British Medical Journal. You might just Google British Medical Journal and evidence-based medicine. They've got an article in there, and this is, you know, the oldest. Say it again, Jeannie. Okay. This is the oldest medical journal on the planet, and they're calling out their own what to call it. Their whole industry, they're calling it out, and they're pointing at the frauds that are happening. Now, how can you be assured that I know what I'm talking about when I talk about the cause of disease? Well, there's a pretty simple way to recognize the fallacy of the bug is the problem, the bacteria, the virus. Now, let's imagine that out in the front yard, I have a 1-acre lot, and I rope off 1 square foot on this corner of the lot, and then I rope off 1 square foot on the farthest corner away from one I just marked. And I count how many bacteria and viruses and bugs and buzzards and creepy crawly things there are around each square feet. Pardon me, around each square foot. Is there going to be a difference? Now, obviously, they're going to be probably pretty much the same. You know, it's just a lot and there's nothing special going on. But what happens? Let's say it's a nice warm day. It's body temperature, 98.6 degrees, and I drop a dead rabbit in that square foot on one corner of the lot, and I leave it there for a couple of days, and I come back. And I'm going to do another count of the number of bacteria, viruses, bugs, and buzzards there are around each square foot. Is there going to be a difference? Is there going to be an elevated count somewhere? Absolutely. 100% of the time, it's going to be where the decaying tissue is. Now, how many think if you kill off all the bacteria, the viruses, the bugs, and the buzzards, that the rabbit's going to get up and run around again? It's not going to happen. The decaying tissue attracts or brings into expression a cleanup crew. They're called reducer organisms, and they're designed to take out that which is decaying. You know, a lion is a reducer organism in the jungle. Does a lion go after the biggest, toughest, you know, longhorn buffalo in the crowd? No. The lion hangs around the edges and waits for the weak, calls it from the herd, and keeps and protect, and by doing so protects the herd. The bacteria and the virus are protect mechanisms. They are upgrade mechanisms. Unless we throw poor toxic poisons on top of them and further toxify the tissue in order to get rid of them because we think they're the cause of our diseases. Now, that doesn't mean don't ever use a drug for an infection. If your immune system's not up to par and you're unable to handle it, no question, that drug can save a life. But there's a difference between saving a life and healing a form. Every drug is a disease disguised as a cure. Don't take my word for it. Just get one of your packages down off of the shelf, open it up, and notice there's an insert in it, and there's going to be a whole list of diseases that that substance causes. Every drug is a disease disguised as a cure. But this artificial molecule, they've experimented with and found that there are certain symptoms that, while it creates other symptoms which may be worse than what one's dealing with, there are certain symptoms that come from the use of that particular substance in a structure. That means these things cause diseases. Now, it just amazes me how deeply brainwashed people have become. And this is part of, you know, read that article I'm talking to you about. This is from medical researchers. They're telling on themselves, and they're talking about the fraud and the deception and how the pharmaceutical industry has betrayed. And, you know, if you take a look, the billions of dollars for criminal activity that these pharmaceutical houses pay over and over and over again, and yet somehow people still believe in them. I mean, if you had a company that, you know, 10 times over had to pay $1 million, $2 million, $10 million, $3 billion, there've been fines assessed for as much as $3 billion against the pharmaceutical industry because of fraud, because of deception. And yet people still pop those things like they're candy. I invite you to consider now, you know, don't go jumping off of medications on my say so. If you're on medications and you're ready to make a change, get with your doctor, get support, get a professional, get somebody who knows what's going on, and start to engage in the cause of health rather than using a major cause of disease to try to maintain your health. You know, statistics show the number three cause of death in America is iatrogenic. That means doctor caused. Think. Start to take responsibility. Educate yourself. And you may see some different outcomes. And one of the most potent ways that you can remove the toxic energies that create decaying tissue that gives rise to the bacteria or gives a food supply to the bacteria, one of those potent ways you can deal with those things is through forgiveness. And that's why we've dedicated as much energy to bringing that forward to the world as we have. And I would think that that conversation should arouse some questions, some comment. Let's say hello.
610, you're on the air. I think it's Miss Susan.
It is, and boy, are you on a topic. I want to ask you a question about Michael Rice.
Go for it, young lady. Are you going to try to get me in trouble?
No, this is really good stuff,
okay.
Though. My grandson, Jake, is at a theater program in New York, and he is a fragile fellow at this point. But he called me yesterday, and he said, can you hear the sound of my voice? And I said, yeah, it sounds as if you have a golf ball stuck in the back of your throat. What gives? He said, that's just exactly what. I've got this big, I can hardly talk, and I certainly can't sing. And I am exhausted, he said. And I said, whoa, get yourself to a health center right away. They have these emergency centers, you know. I said, go over there. So he went over there. They said, kid, you have an abscess. Go to the emergency room. He went to the emergency room, and they said, no, it's not an abscess. It's a virus, and we're going to give you a steroid for 5 days, and it should reduce this. Well, he felt better. They gave him some kind of an infusion right away, shot or something. He got himself home. He called and said, well, I'm home. It was 11 o'clock at night, and he had called it around 2 in the afternoon. The poor guy, he said, it's better. Can you hear it? And I said, yeah. I said, call me tomorrow. Go to bed. And probably you shouldn't go to school tomorrow. Well, he tried to go. That's a long story. But he ended up going back home. He didn't feel well enough to hack it. Called me toward the end of the day, sounded better still, but this morning he called again and he said, it isn't better, it's worse. And I could hear it. It wasn't as bad as before, but it looks as if the steroid isn't doing the trick. And I'm wondering, I just had this feeling that he may just not be able to swallow his life or swallow his present situation. He keeps saying things like, I've lost my looks. He's gained 40 pounds on some medication they have him on for, it's an antipsychotic or something, or anti-bipolar.
Right.
I don't know what they all are. He says, I don't think I can be an actor, and I don't even know if I really want to be. So I'm wondering if he's developing symptoms to get out of the trajectory he put himself on, which is no longer a very good fit, and I'm not even sure of that. In any case, Michael, there are so many factors that could be in here. I asked him if he'd had a test, and they said, yes, they gave him a test when he was at center, and I haven't heard that it's positive. And I know COVID can look awfully funny in different people, but nobody else has this. And he's at his, you know, his wit's end. He doesn't know what to make of it. And I keep thinking, boy, you know, the kid, he probably should just come here, leave the program. We'll take a real hit because it was expensive. But come home. I want to cave and just say, come home. This isn't right for you. Let's regroup. Let's have you rest. But I'm just, does anything about what I tell you strike you in any way?
Well, he may well be, you know, creating symptoms for himself as a way to escape from that situation. But, you know, I don't know how many different medications he's on. It sounds like from what he did in the past, there's more than one. And this may be, you know, a side effect of the medication that he's on. And unfortunately, you know, if it is a side effect of a medication, then you use another medication to handle the side effect. You just redoubled and created still another set of side effects. And, you know, unfortunately that just tends to go on. That's a really tough place. And, you know, what he needs is a healer. What he needs is someone who, as opposed to, you know, my take would be, as opposed to someone who's practicing medicine, and, you know, school systems have got a set up and they're pretty much going to follow the, you know, the traditional party line. But if he could find someone who's an holistic practitioner who can look at his medications and see what kind of interactions and what's going on. I mean, to put on 40 pounds, that's quite a load for a body to carry physically, emotionally, and it sounds like for him psychologically.
Well, it is.
You know, if
he
I remember correctly, when
look.
He was in Florida. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Well, if I remember correctly, when he was in Florida, he was, you know, singing and participating and doing all of those things. And if this medication has caused him to move into a place where he's now self-conscious of his body and it's difficult to do that, I mean, that's a pretty horrendous side effect. Do you know anybody, you know, that is a practitioner that can look at those things and support him by, you know, maybe there's an alternative medication he can use. Maybe there's something he can do nutritionally. But he really, really needs somebody that's a professional in the medical arena and being able to really look at drug interactions. And, you know, 40 pounds is a lot.
Was real thin before. So now he's not, you wouldn't look at him and say he's fat, but he's got a bloated look about him, even though he's not, he doesn't strike you as being too heavy, but it's a weird kind of weight too. It's a puffiness.
And if he's bloated, that means there's congestion, and congestion is what creates the food supply for something to start to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, in the system of medicine I'm trained in, the literally the whole cause of disease is congestion. And, you know, if there's, let's say it's, you know, if it's water weight, if water isn't being processed through his system properly, then, you know, and there are bacteria and viruses that are naturally in the body, you know, if you take water and you put some bacteria in it and you put it in a closed container and sit it over there at 98.6 degrees, that container is probably going to explode before long. because there's going to be a growth and an expansion. And it sounds like that kind of growth and expansion is perhaps happening in his body. And, you know, treating that with another medication rather than dealing with the underlying cause, you know, to me doesn't sound like wisdom, but it's going to take a particularly knowledgeable, holistic MD, I would say, to assist him in walking through that. I don't know if you've got anybody there or if there's anybody up near the school that he might be able to consult with, but that's really a tough for a young man like that. Jeez.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I do know someone down here. She's just had back surgery, which is a thought in itself. Wonderful medical doctor who left practicing straight old medicine to become a functional medical person and an acupuncturist.
That's
and
what he
nutritionist.
Needs.
Yeah, she's not available right now, but she's right near me. She's a good friend. In fact, I've tried to get Dr. Tim connected with her so he could interview her. She's really an amazing person.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have some resistance in my daughter is very much the medical route, and she doesn't want me fiddling with it.
Oh, yeah, that's another.
It's always tricky.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
So many things.
Boy, that's between
so
a rock and a hard place.
I know. She has asked me not to mess around, but I'll have to have another talk because this has gone to another level. This just is not right. Something feels really wrong. I want him to just come here, but I don't want to abort whatever because he may push through. He may get better. He may be able to finish
right.
The program. Who knows?
And maybe he could temporarily withdraw with the program due to health concerns, and maybe they would understand and he'd be able to continue with the program too. That's always a petition them for that option. You know, if the young man's
true.
Got
it's only
health
six
challenges.
Weeks long.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. It's only a 6-week program. But
right.
Anyway, thanks for that.
I would suggest that you Google the article in the British Journal of Medicine on evidence-based medicine and perhaps hand that to your daughter so that she can at least ask some questions like, why, in what world could we call it healthy for someone to take on to take a pill and put on 40 pounds? I mean, how could anybody classify that as proper medication and healthy? It just makes no sense. And
it does.
That article might give your daughter a space, you know, that it's not coming from you, but a space to start to question what's going on, because that's just outrageous.
Yeah. Poor baby. Okay. Well, thanks for that.
And we have someone here that is a friend who's a medical doctor. You know, if you don't know, you know, if this woman isn't available and you don't know anyone else who might be, or there's got to be somebody up where he is that is into functional medicine and can create support. I certainly have great empathy for him.
Yeah.
It's like...
Thanks.
You know, you go to something for support and help, and it becomes the next burden. It's like he's got enough on his plate.
Yeah, he does. Okay. Boy, one challenge after
So I breathe with you. I'm holding the space.
Thanks. Thank you.
Any other thoughts for you? Anyway, anything else we can do to support you?
I have a ton of weird thoughts, but sorry, Michael, I interrupted.
Well,
go ahead.
Tell us some of your weird thoughts.
I finished watching The Chosen, what they've done so far, and then there are all of these subsidiary clips that you can watch their process. You can hear the guy who is the producer and writer of this show, who's an amazing guy, and in these clips, you learn that he is filming a lot of this, maybe all of it, in Texas, and that he's a member of a mega church, probably 14,000 people in his mega church, and suddenly I get this awful, awful feeling that maybe this wonderful series and this portrayal of a Christ-like figure like nothing I've ever seen coming from people who are of a different political persuasion than I am, I begin to scare myself, you know.
That sounds like a worksheet. I mean, I can't imagine that, and I think I know the political persuasion you're talking about when you mentioned Texas. I can't imagine, you know, there was a saying in the scriptures, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Could anything good come out of that persuasion that could reflect as Yeshua reflects in that series? I don't think so. And if it does, more power to it. But take a lot of correction to come up with that, I think. And so it sounds like you're the young man who's creating it has got to be on a different track than that.
I'm hoping so. Yeah, and there is definitely, I've been doing the worksheets, and it always comes up that maybe I've been wrong this whole time. Maybe actually they know something I don't know. You know, deep scare tactics like maybe I've been mistaken. Everything that I thought made sense, maybe it's wrong. You know, that sort of thinking. Very, very
scary. Sounds like the next level of cleaning up your mind.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If it could be cleaned, it feels as if, whoa, this is just way out there. So anyway.
Next layer, next level. You know, as you hit a new level of vitality, you get to deal with something that yesterday you couldn't even have started to fathom dealing with. And that's how the work proceeds.
Well, I notice you're not having to do deep breathing, and that's a very healing thought to me, just the fact that you're not, you don't get, oh, my God, you may be right.
Well, I'll tell you what's coming to mind for me, you know, and I've shared this with you. You were on the show, I think, when I shared it originally, was the opening that I had in the Still Point session where I was called on my ancestors to process the darkness and the pain that they were carrying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at that, and, you know, I've been doing this work for half a century, and that I feel like I finally got to the level of vitality that I was able to – the level of vitality and the level of consciousness, I was able to look at that and accept and be with that. And I couldn't have done that previously.
Wow.
You know, I don't think I could have done that previously. And so, you know, if you're opening that part of your mind on a new level, the only reason it can open is because you're ready for it. So be with it and have confidence in it and go with it. Make sure that you ask Rika's guidance and stay on track with it.
Okay.
And I notice a particular component in our conversation today, and I want to acknowledge you for it. And that is that you have not put forward in the whole conversation and your concern about Jacob, you've not put one thought forward that indicates in any way, shape, or form that somehow you think it might be your fault.
Oh.
And that's awesome.
Oh, yes.
That you're seeing yourself as innocent support rather than, oh my God, what did I do?
Mhm. Oh, okay. Oh, thanks.
So nice work for being innocent support.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the context of the conversation about your daughter. That's pretty powerful.
Well, thanks. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, just feedback.
Thanks.
Because over the years, the norm would be somehow it always comes back to being your problem, your fault, something. And, you know, I don't hear any intimation of that whatsoever. So that's awesome.
Good. Thanks, Michael.
And I share your pure heart and concern for your grandson.
I do too. In fact, I might text him. I know he's at school, but he might be free enough to give me an idea of how he's doing today. I've been trying to leave him alone, but good that he knows people are thinking about him too.
Yeah, if I were you, unless he indicates otherwise, I'd keep in close contact, letting him know that you're the space and you're here to support him.
Okay. I will.
No, you're like a lifeline that it sounds like he doesn't have with Dad, and is, you know, somewhat tenuous with Mom.
Yeah, she's very much supporting of him, but she gets so frightened that she gets mad. You know, she's,
yeah.
Oh, Jake, you know, just go to school. And I know that's her fear.
Well, it's probably her opportunity for a forgiveness lesson. So I'll hold the space that if it is, that she's able to see it. And she's got the brain cells for the work of Yeshua and creating support for many people in community. So let's hold the space that she can turn that support toward herself and open the space for herself.
I hope so, yeah.
And ask for support where she needs it.
Right. Good thoughts.
You know, from what you shared with me of how she works within communities and is so powerful at offering care and concern, that you know, that perhaps she can open and receive the level of care and concern that she offers.
Yeah. Okay. I know it's toward the end. How's Jeannie's dad doing?
Dad's doing pretty well. Dad's doing pretty well. He'd sort of been becoming, you know, the class clown. He's been socializing. Usually when we're over there and if you want to stay in your room, you don't want to go down to the, you know, there's a common room. He'll usually stay in his room. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, he's like, no, take me down there. And, you know, he sits right at the main table and he's with everybody and he's kind of hanging out and socializing and being the class clown, being literally being entertainment. The last day or two, he's kind of quieted down a little bit from that, but he's doing pretty well.
Oh, good.
He seems to be enjoying his environment there.
Good.
And I think probably the quieting down the last couple of days, he has now developed two more bed sores, so he's probably in a little bit of pain. Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's in a wheelchair or in his recliner or in bed, so that is a challenge.
Well, guys,
so
thank
on
you
that
so
note,
much.
Seeing
yeah.
as we're down to the last minute, we'll extend the presence of love to Dad, to you and Jake, and to Jake's mom. We'll just join in extending that energy of the presence of love and the sweetness of heart that you have for him. It's awesome.
Thanks. Thank you so much. It's all going to help.
All right. Oh, blessings. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You can give it. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.